Hi, this is Bill Wills.
And I'm Mike Snyder.
Thanks for checking out Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. We're around daily, 5 to 9. News, sports, traffic and weather on the 10s. Mike, a lot of going on, right?
Yeah, there always is. And we've got the latest in sports. Of course, what's going on with the Tribe, what may be happening with the Cavs and the Browns. And then, of course, we have the news and we get you around town with traffic on the 10s.
Be sure to follow us here on the podcast and get the episode each and every day. And join us if you can on Twitter. I'm Bill Wills at WTAM 1100.
And I'm at Snyder 1100.
Today's Wills and Snyder in Cleveland's Morning News.
Glad to have you with us.
Getting there on time just isn't good enough. Traffic and weather on the 10s with Wills and Snyder in the morning on WTAM 1100, Cleveland's news radio.
Thanks for being there, for listening. If you're on the iHeartRadio app, thank you. If Alexa or your Google woke you up this morning, great. Love to connect. You can always text 21095. See something we ought to be talking about. Got a take on something. Wills and Snyder Facebook, willsandsnyder.com as well. Scott Scuderese, producer extraordinaire, posting a couple of things, including a follow-up on the great tradition, the Meadows Turkey Bowl in Medina, and the charities that they have helped over the years. There's information up there. We talked to Mike yesterday morning, right?
Yes, correct. And you can listen, re-listen to the interview, check it out, and got all the information there that you can see when the game is, what charities are being helping raised for it, and just general information about how long ago this all started. And it's a great interview you did
great
with Mr.
Story.
Meadows.
Great story. So Mike's up there. You can listen to it. Mike will have more on the Cavs, almost sweeping that road trip.
Oh, my
what
gosh.
What a game they played against Philly last
the
week.
The hot
right?
Cavaliers, man. Wow. They're playing some good basketball, and just come up a little short with the 76ers dunked the hot Cavs 98-97.
Check out the highlights. And Buckeye fans, number two, LSU at number one.
Yeah, I got to. Yeah, well, you know what? After, you know, the LSU deserves it, Bill, because, I mean, their schedule, but also beating Alabama, you got to get rewarded number one, even though the Buckeyes were first put there last week. But LSU played so far the biggest schedule this year. And but as long as the Buckeyes do their business, they're in the playoffs.
You play who you play.
Right.
And you beat who you beat, and they roll.
Right, they're there. Ohio State will be there if they win out.
All right. Check out more Wills and Snyder Facebook, willsandsnyder.com. We've got sports. Impeachment inquiry today. Expectations. We'll talk to our political analyst, Alex Castellanos. And while that is going on, the president of Turkey, and Turkey's been in the news a lot lately, of course, he'll be at the White House visiting President Trump. Bill Zimfer on that coming up on News Radio WTAM 1100. 5:15, you get sports mornings, 15 and 45 past. Here's Mike Snyder.
Bill, the Cavaliers had a 5-point lead with 3.5 minutes to play. They would not score again. Joel Embiid would slam home a dunk with 13 seconds to play. That gave the Sixers the 1-point lead with 13 seconds to go. Cavs had a chance, though, to win it.
Sexton looking, got it into Clarkson. Clarkson out front against James Ennis. Clarkson gave it to Love. Love takes the three, shoots the three. Off the back of the rim, no good. Rebound loose on the floor. Scramble for it. Clock it 2-1. Did the Cavs get a timeout? It looked like they grabbed the ball on the near sideline. The buzzer has sounded. And the players are clearing the floor, and that will end it.
That does end it. The Sixers eke out the 98-97 win over the Cavs, who fall to 4-6. But what a road trip it was. They take 2 out of 3. Kevin Love and Jordan Clarkson each with 20. Colin Sexton at 18. Cavs now home to the Heat tomorrow night. That'll be a 6 o'clock start. College basketball, huge upset last night.
Looking deep, plays it into Maxey. Maxey at 6, comes across the line. Maxey, deep 3, right side for the tie. Air ball, rebound, Riley, and Evansville has shocked the newly crowned number one team in the land, Kentucky, on its home court. The Purple Aces take down the Wildcats 67-64.
Yeah, hear how quiet it is at Rupp as number one Kentucky goes down to Evansville, a team coached by a former Kentucky Wildcat, Walter McCarty. College football, Ohio State won by 59 and dropped a notch in the playoff poll to number two. No real big surprise here. LSU's win over Alabama puts them at number one. Clemson's 3, Georgia number 4. Now, Ohio State getting ready to take on Rutgers this week, but everybody wondering about Chase Young. Here's what Coach Day said yesterday.
I just know that it's going on right now, and we're going to prepare for him to be back this week. And, you know, he'll practice this week, and once we find out more information, we'll go from there.
Interesting that he is able at least to practice with the Buckeyes this week. Browns really had their full day of practice yesterday to get ready for the Steelers tomorrow on having Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. Freddie Kitchens says,
I think it's great. Like I said, Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt are very unselfish. All they want to do is win football games, and I like guys like that.
It's an 8:20 kickoff tomorrow night. Home of the Indians and the Cavs, Mike Snyder, W.
The impeachment inquiry in Washington today and Capitol Hill and at the White House. President Trump's going to welcome the president of Turkey, Bill Zimfer, on that visit first this morning. Turkey, a country, of course, been in the news a lot lately with us, right, Bill?
Absolutely, and there's no doubting the relationship between the United States and Turkey has deteriorated over the last 8-9 months or so, and it all started when Turkey bought a Russian missile defense system, the S-400 system. They had taken delivery of the first of those units. That rankled the United States, who then removed Turkey as a partner in the F-35 fighter program that they had been involved with the United States. Then you had the invasion into northern Syria, the military operation by Turkey, moving across the border after being warned not to by the United States, and the situation has really gotten to a point now where President Erdogan and President Trump are kind of at odds. So, in fact, this relationship has deteriorated so much that a bipartisan group of congressmen from the House of Representatives this week, Bill, sent a letter to the president urging him to scrap this meeting. So, the meeting will take place. Hard to believe the president can be focused on this meeting when everything else is going on in Washington, but they'll be talking about a number of things, including the possibility of removing sanctions from Turkey if they get rid of that S-400 system, which should be interesting to see. But Turkey comes in with a little bit of leverage here, because if they don't get what they want from the United States, they could always turn to countries like Russia and China.
On that leverage part, yeah, their economy looks like it needs help, but you're right. They can go to the other two of the big three and say, well, what can you do for us, right?
Absolutely. And there's one other interesting angle on this whole thing, the son-in-law angle. Presidential son-in-law Jared Kushner is friends with the son-in-law of President Erdogan of Turkey, who is also a member of their government. And there's another son-in-law involved, the son-in-law of a Turkish business tycoon who is a business partner of President Trump. The rumor is that these three are often used for back-channel communications between the two countries, and according to the New York Times, the former U.S. ambassador to Turkey says President Trump is replacing formal diplomatic relationships with his, he called it, crony-to-crony relationships. Sound familiar? Almost sounds like what's going on in Ukraine.
Gotta love it. Gotta keep it all in the family. All right, Bill Zimfer, thanks much. Down the street, Capitol Hill, and the open televised inquiry on impeachment today. President Trump talked about that some yesterday, along with Republican Congressman Zeldin in New York.
Democrats in Washington would rather pursue outrageous hoaxes and delusional witch hunts, which are going absolutely nowhere. Don't worry about it.
They're relying on people like Bill Taylor as a star witness who is going to tell us something that is third or fourth hand information.
Networks will televise this. Political analyst Alex Castellanos, break it down a bit for me. Expectations to start.
Well, Democrats are desperately hoping to reverse what happened in the Mueller hearings. They came out of that with no story. And what they want out of this is a narrative, a simple story that the American people can understand of why Donald Trump should be impeached. So there's not going to be really any new evidence presented. This is Mr. Rogers' storytelling time, but it's a little dull because we all know how it's going to end. Imagine reading a 500-page murder mystery when someone's just told you who did it at the end. That's kind of what's going to happen here. Very little's going to change.
Alex, we're not kids anymore. We don't have time to sit and watch Mr. Rogers for a half hour unless the movie's coming out. So seriously, on that front then, as far as the, you know, what people are going to understand from this, how many people are going to be paying attention? That's an interesting question, I think.
I think it is the question, Bill, and very few. Washington's all enraptured about it. The news media certainly is. They all want to be part of the next Watergate. But after the House does this, flip it on its head. It's going to go to the Senate, and there Republicans are going to make their case, and they're going to point out interesting things like Alexandra Chalupa, DNC consultant, went to the Ukrainian embassy, and she he met with the Ukrainian officials, and guess what happened 4 days later? Why, the Ukrainians mysteriously found a ledger that had payments to Paul Manafort in it, and found it in a burned-out building. Gee, what a coincidence. Did the Democrats do exactly what they're accusing President Trump of, which is urge a foreign government to investigate Hillary's political rival? Stay tuned.
Stay tuned is right. Gavel-to-gavel coverage on so many networks. Alex Castellanos with his take this morning. Alex, thanks much.
Good to be with you, Bill.
Capitol Hill today at 10 a.m. First public House impeachment hearings will commence. Michael Bauer joins us for a preview. Big setting, and all the networks going to carry this thing today, Michael.
Everybody's going to have a hold of it. You're going to have it on all of the news networks, on cable TV as well, and it's going to be held inside probably the most spacious and television-friendly chambers, the Ways and Means Committee. That's the grandest hearing room that the House has. That's going to serve as the backdrop for these hearings, and that's where you're going to see Bill Taylor, the top American diplomat in Ukraine, George Kent, senior State Department official in charge of Ukraine policy, as the witnesses coming in, and Democrats and Republicans preparing to offer competing narratives of whether President Trump inappropriately pressured Ukraine to investigate his political rivals. That's what it all comes down to. Now, the other part of this, where you've got Adam Schiff and Devin Nunes kind of running the whole show, you're going to see some other people asking questions. We've got this whole new time limit thing now, Bill, where you can go up to 45 minutes in depth for one side, and then the other side will get that as well. So Democrats go 45, Republicans go 45. But you're going to have people like Daniel Goldman, former federal prosecutor in Manhattan, asking questions for the Democrat side. Steve Castor, congressional investigator who's worked in the House since 2005, will be asking questions for Republicans. So it won't just be the big names that you're used to. There are going to be some new names asking those questions. And then after that 45-minute time limit, that's when it goes back to that familiarity that we have with these kinds of committees, the 5 minute for each remaining member in regards to the committee.
That starts this morning at 10. I also saw some noise that they announced more public hearings and a schedule as well, even for next week, I believe.
Yeah. We were wondering when that was going to happen. Adam Schiff released yesterday on Twitter. You got, at least at this point, the way that it's falling together is Tuesday morning and Tuesday afternoon, two different sessions with two different people for each one. So a total of four people on Tuesday. On Wednesday, you're going to have Gordon Sondland, the EU ambassador, testifying in the morning. And then in the afternoon, Laura Cooper and David Hale. So you got three people on Wednesday. And then Thursday, Fiona Hill will be testifying. And then according to Adam Schiff, more details to come. So that might not be the end of it, but that's another eight people or so here we've got going into next week.
The time of the gentleman has expired. Michael Bauer, thank you. We'll talk again in the morning.
Have a great day, Bill.
Polling numbers this morning as the hearings begin. Nearly half Americans, according to a CBS News YouGov poll released yesterday, 47% say any whistleblower in the case should be forced to make public testimony. According to the poll, 26% agree Trump's actions regarding Ukraine were proper. 31% say they were improper but legal. You add those together, you got 57% say it's no big deal. 43%, though, say it was illegal. When asked what they think motivated the whistleblower, 39% in the poll say the person wanted to damage the president politically. 37% said it was to protect U.S. interests. 23% say they plan to wait for more evidence with what comes out in the hearings. 42% of people agree Trump's actions in Ukraine were, quote, the kind of thing most presidents probably do with foreign countries. 58% say no. 53% of Americans say they approve the opening of the inquiry, 47% disapprove. Interesting numbers, though. According to the poll, 57% say the impeachment has been easy to follow. 43% say hard. Overall, 46% say Trump's doing a good job as president. 54% say he's doing a bad job. 55% say they're optimistic about the upcoming year. 60% indicate they are happy right now with the country and the overall economic outlook. Open televised hearings this morning start at 10. We'll have updates, of course, for you throughout the day. Top, bottom of the hour, and anything breaks at any time. Geraldo with his take, too, coming up at 9:05 on Geraldo in Cleveland. Don Jr., by the way, joins him tomorrow morning.
And now, 5 good minutes.
Some surveys say it's one of the more stressful times we've ever had. More employers offering flexible hours. Millennials want more rights, want more days off, want more respect. Some say without earning it. Bob Fish, former CEO at Route 21, has written the book, What Do Baby Boomers Still Not Get About Millennials as Co-Workers? Now, I'm not just picking on co-workers, Bob. I mean, look, at some point, you're young, you come into the office setting, right?
Well, I think, Bill, that we have to all remember that we were all 25 years old once. and that, you know, we had our own beliefs and we sometimes forget that. And so there are cultural differences, some cultural differences, but that we wanted the recognition and we wanted acknowledgement and respect when we were that age, 25 and 30. And so I think I'm all about how to have, I don't like to call it work-life balance because I think that's a tired cliche.
Right.
But to call it work-life integration, where it's where people are working together, whether it's millennials and millennials or millennials and baby boomers.
We love labeling, and for part of this conversation, we're talking about labeling. But in a way, and you talk about this in the book, you know, marketers are just, they're doing anything they can to get the millennial to buy a product. On the other hand, we're complaining about millennials at the same time.
Yeah, well, but, you know, but that's what my book is all about, and also I'm all about, because in building Route 21 to the largest specialty apparel retail chain and store count in America, I worked with a lot of millennials, and out of the 400 people in my home office, almost 300 were between 20 and 30 years old. And my phrase is, I teach them business, they teach me life. And so they, you know, it's how I call it mutual mentoring.
Yes.
Where it's generation splicing together, where it's you work together as a team. And I found that if you push the young people properly and also pay attention, that they perform. And you want to work with people who really want it, so you push for those type of people.
There were a couple things I got out of this, and I want to, again, the book is fabulous to read no matter where you're at in the sales or office cycle or position. But you touched on mentoring, and so many times a manager would hire a new employee and you buddy up with somebody who, hey, come learn our business in a way. With this cultural shift age-wise, you're kind of proposing, I think, both, that it's good for me to also buddy up with a millennial, there I go labeling again, but to understand both sides now as far as the age, right?
I think so, Ed. I think it's we have to all continue to get out of our comfort zones, and which is what I think the millennials help you do, but that I have some really good friends that are in their late 20s and early 30s, and they do teach me a lot about life, and it's how you embrace it and open up to them.
Bob Fish, former Route 21 CEO of the book, What Do Baby Boomers Still Not Get About Their Millennial Coworkers? We spent some time on this week's Showgram podcast on the iHeartRadio app with Bob and a couple other people talking about the office, literally the office place, and mentoring. He says it's just as important to mentor with an older employee, to mentor with a younger employee, just to make sure everybody understands the language nowadays. Anyway, some interesting stuff. You manage people, work in the office, check out the podcast, Showgram Podcast, iHeartRadio app, Wills and Snyder. Thanks. 5:58. Later after 8, tickets for Journey and the Pretenders when they come to Blossom.
News Radio WTAM 1100. This is Bill Wills. Coats for Kids campaign update. Loretta Arnold joins me. It is a busy, busy month, busy time of the year for the campaign. Hi, Loretta.
Good morning, Bill.
All right, November, a busy month as we start our annual Coats for Kids collection. Again, the whole idea of the campaign is getting a coat from you, maybe one your son or daughter can't wear from last year. It's still good, though, and we can get on the back of a child in need in Northeast Ohio or make a donation through CoatsForKidsCleveland.org. When it comes to donating coats, though, I know the bins are, you're getting them out there in the malls and Howard Hanna offices, too, right?
Correct. Along with the Waterway Car Wash, Petiti's Garden Centers, D.O. Summers locations, and Lane Bryant stores. So you can go any of those locations and drop off a coat.
Thanks to Howard Hanna over the years, too. A lot of their agents do some competition among the offices, which is always good because we win when it comes to more and more coats. And again, you can find the locations, coatsforkidscleveland.org. Click on that red view location button at the top right and see exactly where we've got bins set up. Several great promotions, too, this month to help us raise money, including our longtime campaign with our friends at Discount Drug Mart. Right, Loretta?
It has started, and it's full swing. So through December 3rd, buy a paper coat for just $1 and get your donation right back with a $1 off coupon for Energizer batteries. This is at all Discount Drug Mart checkout centers in the area.
And thanks to Discount Drug Mart every year for doing that. Waterway Car Wash, Pepper Pike, Aurora, Hudson. Also, that time with the winter weather, you want to make sure your car stays clean. Get a car wash and help us too, right?
Yes, it's a $20 value. So for your next visit, you go in, you donate a coat, they give you a $20 coupon. Next time the weather goes bad and you want to get the car cleaned off, there you go. You're all set.
Big thanks to Papa John's as well. Pizza night tonight. Order pizza, Papa John's online. Use the promo code KIDS10, KIDS10. And 10% of your order tonight from Papa John's will be donated to Coats for Kids. That's online, Papa John's, the promo code KIDS10. Now, November 22nd, Coats for Kids fundraiser. We got Billy Morris and Sunset Strip doing their thing, right?
Yeah, they're going to be at the theater at the Play Arcade and Kitchen in Mayfield Heights. Tickets are just $10. Buy pre-sale tickets using Eventbrite, using the link on the homepage at CoatsForKidsCleveland.org. A portion of the ticket sales are going to benefit Coats for Kids. Also, 20% of all the food and beverage and games that go on that night will go to Coats for Kids.
Big thanks to Billy and his crew for doing that November 22nd. Also, a couple places to stop by and drop off a coat. I want to mention the Jump Yard in North Royalton, right?
Yeah, I was out there last week. The place was, no pun intended, but it was jumping. And if you drop off a coat, you get half-price admission, and you're entered into a contest for a free birthday party.
Mulligan Strongsville, enjoy a delicious meal, donate a coat, give that to your server, 20% off your bill. We thank them. And the five local Lane Bryant stores have their give a coat, get a coupon promotion too, right?
I love it. You know, you get a coupon for 15% off a future purchase, and those are good till the end of January 2020.
Big thanks to Smiley One, Worth Companies as well, for helping us out with these pallets that make a big difference in loading coats and getting them loaded for distribution. Right, Loretta?
Oh, my gosh. You have no idea. We were here Saturday. We were putting orders together, getting them on the truck so we can start getting them out to the schools. And we had 10 pallets lined up, filled them all up, and said, had to run next door and say, hey, guys, we're going to need a few more. And they're like, we're jolly at the spot right there doing it.
Thank you so much. Worth Company, Smiley One as well, for partnering and helping us out in so many ways. Coats for Kids, campaign underway. Thank you in advance for helping out in some way. Drop off a coat or make a donation if you can. CoatsForKidsCleveland.org for more info. CoatsForKidsCleveland.org. Loretta Arnold with the campaign. Thanks, Loretta.
WTAM.com or on our iHeartRadio app.
724, Greg Stebbin, great guy to follow on Twitter, at Greg Stebbin, does some wonderful podcast work with Forbes Books, fascinating people that he tracks down with us this morning. Hi, Greg.
Hey, good morning.
Greg's also recognizing things in culture that I love talking to him about. You know, we just had a study for downtown Cleveland, it becoming very popular to live in, and one of the concerns is the cost of living downtown. We're not alone in that. Now, we have a lot of room to grow and more room for people. But you've come across an interesting thing in cities like San Francisco that are just so expensive to live in, so crowded. A company will, if I got this right, and I've read this, Main Street, this company is paying me to move out? What is this about?
Yeah, so this is a really interesting combination of things to create this company. Its name, as you said, is Main Street. As is often the case, it was started by three guys from Google, or three gals from Google. You know, you work for Google for a few years, and then you go, I got an idea.
Yeah.
Well, here's their idea.
All right.
You know, we have what's now called the war for talent, right?
Yep.
Companies are really struggling to get highly qualified, experienced people, and they're paying more and more for those people. And then what happens in Silicon Valley and San Francisco and probably even in Cleveland is the price to live in those communities begins to get more and more expensive, right? So you have affordable housing becomes an issue. You have the ability or the difficulty of attracting the right talent for your company. And then this throw in the whole phenomena of WeWork. Now, forget the fact that, you know, they tanked in recent time. But what WeWork really proved was there were a lot of people that were working remotely. They were working from home, and then they stopped working from home, and they worked in locations where there were other people and lots of other business services. Well, this company, Main Street, took these three things and put them together. And so what happens is they go to companies that need lots of highly experienced, talented people who don't want to move to the San Francisco Bay Area because it's just too darn expensive. And they set them up as remote workers in WeWork-like facilities. So you work for Main Street in the Main Street, in a Main Street building. There could be one coming soon to Cleveland, or more than one. So it's a lot like working at WeWork. You've got all the, you know, the copiers are there, the printers are there, there's people there, there's conference rooms there, there's high-speed internet there. But you're working for Main Street, and Main Street's client is Google or Facebook or Apple. You're working for the same companies, but your stress level goes down, your cost of living goes down, but you're not isolated and alone, which WeWork really proved that people like to be around other people.
A couple layers on this. I've got a Wilson Center Showgram podcast this week talking about the workplace and the merge and millennials and baby boomers and everybody getting along or trying to get along and how some people don't want to be in the office and work and, you know, the cultural things. And so having said that, the challenge, as you say, I mean, employees, workers have more leverage now probably than ever in this economy. And companies need to realize that, but you still got to find highly qualified, good people, but you got to keep them happy. You got to have them work where they want to work, literally, then.
Well, that's right. And so what I think is really the magic of the Main Street idea here is that there may be tons of talented, experienced people that are perfect for your company. They're just not in your town. So let's rally them together. Give them an appropriate office space to work in, which, by the way, one of the problems for companies is not only hiring people, but when you're in Silicon Valley or San Francisco or New York or Boston or Austin, the office space is insanely expensive. And then the commutes get harder and harder. I mean, there's all kinds of things that are making places like the Bay Area of California a problem, people not wanting to move there. But maybe I do want to live in Cleveland, or maybe I want to live in Boise, or maybe I want to live in Sacramento. But I want to keep working for my company, and my company wants to know that they can rally people together in essentially a satellite office space. And I think ultimately that's what Main Street offers.
I was reading a blog about this last night with WeWork. Greg Stebbins with us, what we're talking about. And one of the challenges, people say, I want to work from home. Well, then they get lonely. They want to interact with people. Well, that's why you can't get into Panera or Starbucks at 1 in the afternoon. Everybody's got their table
that's
and their,
right.
their laptop set up because they want to see people. They want some energy, which is what you get in the office, right?
Well, that there's the interaction with other people. There's just also, I mean, when you're at Panera or you're at Starbucks, and you're absolutely right, when you go into those places, essentially, there's a ton of people sitting around working. But it's not great for your workforce in many, many ways. What if you have to get something done or you have to do a conference and you go to Panera and there's nowhere to sit?
Right.
You're late for your conference, or you're sitting in your car,
right.
or you're stuck in traffic.
Right.
So, again, I think the idea of WeWork and now this company, Main Street, really takes the best of these co-working spaces, eliminates the problems like WeWork had, which was that there was no, you know, they were collecting money from the poor, broke freelance individuals instead of the companies that could afford it.
Yeah.
And the companies that were actually saving money by... Companies will save money by working with Main Street, and by instead of having people actually come in and work at the headquarters in that expensive, dense urban center.
Interesting stuff. Google it. You want to find out more? I can't believe I said that, but Google it. Yeah, Main Street, and look it up when
yeah,
it comes
their,
to the workplace.
Yeah, their website is workonmainstreet.com.
Okay. All right, workonmainstreet.com. Good stuff. Greg Stebbin, thank you as always. Appreciate it. Former NFL quarterback Ricky Stanzi, part of our coverage every week, every Wednesday morning, talking quarterback play and Baker. Hi, Ricky.
How are you?
Good, pal. Look, coming off the win on Sunday, I was thinking about this. Is it overused to say maybe you got to learn to win ugly? And that game Sunday truly had no rhythm. It just had, you know, at the end, it's like, who really wants this thing?
Yeah, and it was definitely encouraging to see. You know, just because of how the season has been going so far, for them to be able to kind of hang on there through the, you know, rocky water in that middle portion of the game, and it could have got away from them, which we saw that happen. Earlier in the season a few times, for them to kind of stick together and put that last drive together. And Baker looked great on the last drive and then finishing it off with a touchdown. So, there's definitely some work to do, obviously, in the red zone. That was kind of, you know, alarming to see early in the game, but Baker started off fast. You know, he looked accurate. He looked poised, looked like he knew what he wanted to do. There was a little lull in the middle of the game there. You know, he took the safety, and then there's a couple passes that were close, and they couldn't really get anything going, and the Bills, you know, took a lead. But that was the point where I was impressed with Baker, because they had the lead, and the things could have, you know, things could have gotten away from them, and they put that drive together there at the end of the fourth when they needed it the most.
Yeah, it was impressive. They got the win. That is the bottom line. Ricky, in terms of quarterback receiver developing chemistry, we've talked a lot about Baker and Odell developing that, but just over the years for a quarterback in your experience too, how long does it take, or when is it that you know that you've got that chemistry with that particular guy?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question, because you see it sometimes with you know, a couple, you know, QB wide receiver duos where it just seems right out the gate they've got that feel for where the other guy's going to be and what the timing and what the rhythm is, and so it doesn't seem to be a problem. Then you see it with other people where it seems to take time. So it's hard to say. It's obviously not for lack of targets. You know, against the Bills, I think they really definitely try to put the ball into Odell's hands, and you know, I mean, Odell gets 2-3 pass interference calls just because he's so fast and can get open that guys have no choice but to try to hold him. So that's got to be frustrating not only for him but for Baker, because those are plays where Odell should be open in the corner of the end zone, but someone's grabbing his jersey. So I thought that they did a good job of trying to feed the ball to not only Chubb but Hunt and Odell. And then Jarvis has just been pretty steady the last few weeks, which is good to see. So it's hard to say. There's so many weapons on that offense that, you know, it's going to be tough to try to all of a sudden at this point in the season have something magical happen. But I think if you just keep spreading the ball around to your playmakers, you know, chances are that they're going to go ahead and do what they do, which is make plays.
Well, they do have some playmakers. Now they got to deal with the Steelers. Ricky, when you look at Pittsburgh, they've won 4 in a row. They're forcing turnovers galore. Minka Fitzpatrick, he's had like 5 interceptions. He's forced a couple of fumbles. As a quarterback for Baker tomorrow, I mean, I know we hear about the safety watching the quarterback's eyes. Does Baker need to be aware of Minka tomorrow too?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Like you have to know with a guy like that who's a ball hawk and who's having he's having a great season. And, you know, when they traded for him, everybody was like, what is that trade? And obviously it makes Tomlin look smart because that guy's having a great year. For Baker, he's got to play a clean game. The Steelers defense is not going to make mistakes. They're not going to shoot themselves in the foot. They're, you know, leading the league or close to leading the league in sacks and turnovers. So the Browns, and that's been a problem spot for the Browns, right? You know, O-line problems and then turning the ball over. So they have to play a focused, clean game against these Steelers, and then the defense has to back them up, and then special teams ties it all together. But Baker has to know, where is Minka Fitzpatrick? What is he doing? Because he's going to try to, you know, fool Baker. He's going to try to show him one coverage, then give him another one. And so Baker's going to have to be smart on where that safety is, you know, sort of leading pre-snap, and then what's he end, you know, ultimately end up post-snap.
Best Browns coverage, great take. Ricky Stanzi, Dave Woolabaugh this time tomorrow, plus Bernie Kosar, 8:45 tomorrow morning on Browns Steelers. Hey, Ricky, let me get you out of here on this. And in fairness, you haven't seen our Wilson Center Facebook post this morning. Scott Scuderi's producer extraordinaire, is wearing a... well, a lot of people around the office are telling him he needs to untuck it. And look, you're a big man on campus, Iowa, Lake Campbell. You're a sharp-dressed guy. Let me just ask you, in general terms, as you get up each day, do you look for a shirt to untuck normally? Because that seems to be the trend, or do you try and always tuck?
No, I'm definitely an untucked guy. Yeah. I'm not a business suit guy. Yeah. I'm an athletic clothes all day.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If I get the chance, now it depends on the shirt. I know there's a company that makes shirts that are specifically built.
Yeah. Would you ever tuck in a hoodie though?
Would you tuck in a hoodie?
No.
Okay. Thank you. That's all we need to know, Ricky. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Ricky.
Ricky Stanzi, Best Browns coverage and haberdashery. Yeah, we posted. Scooter's got this Indians and Snyder really been ripping him all morning. So we posted.
It's a T-shirt hoodie. Well, it does not have a bottom to it.
It's a hoodie. Let the people speak.
Yes.
Wilson Snyder
it
Facebook.
It does not have a bottom.
Can I do this?
Yes.
Wilson Snyder Facebook. Jill says, it's America. We still have freedom.
Well,
go,
that's
Scooter.
Right.
I guess since it's an adult-sized shirt, he should tuck it in. Rich says untuck. It's a sports shirt for relaxing. Mike says untuck. Annie says untuck. Christy says untuck. Megan, untuck. Mary Beth, untuck. Frank says untuck. Lisa, untuck. Tony says tuck it in. Chris posts, wear it backwards with the hood up.
Wilson Snyder Facebook, wilsonsnyder.com.
I think I will.
You can chime in on Scooter's shirt if you want. Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside Bradley Don Sellers, retired American professional basketball player and the wonderful mayor of Warrensville Heights, joins us this morning for complete Cavaliers coverage. Mayor, good morning.
Good morning, Bill. You do it all, don't you? You do it all, baby.
I pull up Wikipedia and read once in a while. That seems to help. Cavs updates brought to you by Huntington Bank. Now, before we get to this team, talk to me about the roads, Warrensville Heights. Did we get through this first snow squall, Mayor?
Yeah, we got through it, but it was rugged, I'm going to tell you. I mean, that snow came down about 7 in the morning, that last hit, at least on this end of town.
Yeah.
It was tough, but we got through it. And so what I don't want this to be a five-month winter. I'm looking for this snow usually by the end of December, early January, right. not like yesterday.
We don't want to get through the piles of salt in the budget too early, do we, man?
No, we don't blow that out. I didn't hear a good report from Holly either.
I understand.
Heat was coming.
I understand. Now, Mike Snyder and Mayor Sellers, tell me about this Cavs team. They're not supposed to be winning. They're not supposed to be taking 2 out of 3 on a road trip and almost beating Philadelphia in Philly last night, Mayor?
Yeah, that's not bad. I mean, they've actually been surprised and playing surprisingly well. You know, to be as young as they are and not as counted in as people have been. Because we didn't know what we were going to get, to be honest. But I would say what I've seen early is energy. I've seen professionalism. And I really have seen a great job by a very young coaching staff. I think Coach Beilein is doing an excellent job.
Yeah, young in his first year in the NBA, but they really seem to be responding to his coaching, Brad, aren't they?
Yeah, Mike, as I told you, you know, in basketball terminology, Coach Beilein, he's a gym rat, right? He's just a guy that loves the game. So he studies it, analyzes it, and what you're noticing is his teams are getting better each time out. He's figuring out how this league works. You know, the mechanisms and the sequences that need to occur in certain portions of the game. And you're seeing his young players respond. He's coaching them. He's giving his veterans, leeway. And so you're seeing things like Tristan Thompson and Kevin Love being the new leaders of this team.
Probably the stunning part, and we touched on it last night after the game, Brad, but Tristan Thompson, we know he's in the last year of a contract and he's healthy. But beyond that, Brad, he's in his 9th year. We've not seen kind of this offensive polish to his game that we've seen. He's making threes. Now that's kind of an exception, but really around the basket, he's been very consistent. Can a guy that far into his career really develop that kind of offense?
Well, I think you can. I think you're seeing it now. You know, he's not a guy that's going to go out and shoot, you know, 43s in a season, 53s in a season. But his leadership, Mike, is what's his key. He's becoming a dependable guy on the offensive end. He's the energetic guy on defense. He's a guy that's playing tough. You know, they're playing undersized, not really with a real center in the lineup. And so they're playing undersized, but they're battling every day. And I tell you what, they gave Philly a run for that money last night, and Philly should be very happy that they got away with a win.
I think they were, yes. Now, give us your take on the young guards and how they're progressing.
Well, I think here, first of all, I think Colin Sexton coming back into his second campaign is doing outstanding job. Much more refined, much more better understanding of what we're doing, and he's learning how to do it in spurts. He doesn't have to do it just erratically for 40 minutes. In this case here, the two new guards, the two rookies, I mean, I think they're coming along, Garland and Porter. They're coming along and playing well, and they've been surprisingly successful this early in their professional career.
Mayor Brad Sellers with us, Cavs Heat tomorrow night. That's a 6 o'clock tip-off, right? Does that work for you, Mayor?
Well, it worked for me because, you know, we got the Cavs and then we got the Browns.
That's right.
So.
All right.
So, make sure I don't know how it's going to work for Cleveland Metro traffic downtown.
Make sure everybody understands. We got a 6 o'clock at Rocket Mortgage tomorrow night. Brad Sellers on your Cavs this morning. Tim Alcorn will call it, and he'll call us this time tomorrow morning, talk some Cavaliers. Brad, all the best. Thanks, partner.
All right, guys.
Is it just me, or do you feel like I'm tired of this before it even starts? I mean, this should be like an historic morning, and it's going to play out on TV. I don't know.
All I can tell you, Bill, is around my house, the lead story is my 14-year-old is in mourning that she didn't get a snow day either yesterday or today.
There you go, right? Life goes on for all of us, right?
That's the lead, absolutely. I hope that Republicans stand firm and are energetic in their when it comes time for their questioning, and then when they're outside the chamber, the hearing room, that they help tell the story of how this is, I think, an overreach, to say the least, by the Democrats.
Hey, we're a soundbite society, so that's the key. What you absorb today, I guess, when it comes to coverage, or what the message on both sides is.
I don't think that today is going to be that significant because so much is leaked out.
Yeah.
And because each cable network will have its, you know, its stable of legislators and pundits that will spin things their way. I don't think it's going to, it's not going to be John Dean, I'll tell you that.
Geraldo in Cleveland, 905. Thanks, partner.
Okay, man.
Quick take from political analyst Alex Castellanos on expectations, Alex.
Well, Democrats are desperately hoping to reverse what happened in the Mueller hearings. They came out of that with no story. And what they want out of this is a narrative, a simple story that the American people can understand of why Donald Trump should be impeached. So there's not going to be really any new evidence presented. This is Mr. Rogers' storytelling time, but it's a little dull because we all know how it's going to end. Imagine reading a 500-page murder mystery when someone's just told you who did it at the end. That's kind of what's going to happen here. Very little's going to change.
Alex, we're not kids anymore. We don't have time to sit and watch Mr. Rogers for a half hour unless the movie's coming out. So seriously, on that front then, as far as the, you know, what people are going to understand from this, how many people are going to be paying attention? That's an interesting question, I think.
I think it is the question, Bill, and very few. Washington's all enraptured about it. The news media certainly is. They all want to be part of the next Watergate.
Alex Castellanos. More with Geraldo coming up, 905. Geraldo in Cleveland on News Radio, WTAM 1100.
What you want and need to know to start the day. Wills and Snyder, Cleveland's morning news on Cleveland's News Radio, WTAM 1100.
All the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
iHeart deal this week at WTAM.com. Keyword deals. We're going to run. We're going to have some fun. And we're going to do it at Cedar Point. Chris Lewis is in to tell us more about the, it's the Santa Hustle, correct?
Correct.
All right, tell me about it. When is it?
Yeah, so it's going to be on Sunday, December 8th at Cedar Point. So it's, again, called Santa Hustle. You can do a half marathon. You can do a 5K. There's also a kid's dash. So once you register, you get a whole setup gear with Santa outfits that the race organizers will give to you. Mm-hmm. And you can do the event. It's different from any other 5K or half marathons. Instead of having something like water stations, they have cookies and milk stations. They have hot chocolate stations.
My kind of 5K.
Exactly. So that's where I'm going to be at.
So I'm going to stay warm. I'll have something to drink on the way as I'm getting around the course. And the course is all inside Cedar Point?
Most of it. Okay. So the 5K and Kids Dash, that's all in the amusement park. Cool. The half marathon, it goes through the amusement park, but it also ventures out onto the peninsula leading up to Cedar Point, down First Street, and then it loops back around and ends back up at Cedar Point.
Now, you guys have done this before, right?
Yeah, it's been going on since 2012, so it's been going on for a few years now. So it's gaining a lot of popularity, and people will seem to really enjoy it.
Registration, $60. We've got the deal for you, WTAM.com, keyword deals, just $25. You can get online and get registered for it. So I love the date, too, December 8th. I mean, a lot of people like to do the turkey trot or that sort of thing at Thanksgiving, but I got to have another goal. I got to have another date marked, and this is a good one then for runners.
It's perfect, and you never know what the weather is going to be like, so it could be 40 degrees and sunny, or it could be 30 degrees and snowing. Yeah. With Santa Hustle, we would love to have it snow, just for the imagery.
Sure.
It's a fun time, and it's also great to just come out to Cedar Point, see a different aspect of what Cedar Point looks like during the off-season. There's no roller coasters going, but it's still a cool thing to see during the off-season, and kind of take in the amusement park as you're running around.
It's the iHeart deal, WTAM.com, keyword deals. Get signed up for the Santa Hustle for just $25. Geraldo in Cleveland coming up. Trivisano after 3, and updates, of course, throughout the day, top and bottom of the hour especially. If anything breaks as far as the impeachment hearings, and we'll talk about it again tomorrow morning, plus get you ready for Browns-Steelers tomorrow night. Best Browns coverage. Bernie's on the show tomorrow morning, 8:45. This is Bill Wills, Mike Snyder, Cleveland's Morning News with